We're going to continue our series, Unshakable. Turn to somebody and say, Unshakable. Now test it out. Shake them. Are they? That wasn't in the script. I just right off the top of the head there. You know, life has many ways of shaking us. It has many ways of shaking us. Something unexpected happening, some kind of tragedy that besets our lives. Sometimes it's disappointment, anxiety, uncertainty. Sometimes it's various things like battles that just won't go away. Over the next several weeks, we're going to continue talking about what happens when everything in life feels like it's falling apart, but there's just certain times where some people, who, despite everything falling apart, just seem to be unshakable. How do we have that kind of faith that is unshakable when everything is falling apart in our life? That's interesting. That's hard. But today, we're going to be going over a message, how to be unshakable when the battles won't quit. Now turn to somebody and say, the battles won't quit. And it's true, sometimes the battles won't quit. But in order to help me illustrate this point, I need a volunteer. I need somebody kind of strong. Somebody, yeah, come here. Right there, yeah, you. Come on, give him a round of applause, come on. Come on up here. Now tell everybody your name.
Mason.
What is it, Mason? Tell everybody your name, Mason.
Mason.
Can you hear him? Mason. No, you can look at me, man.
Mason.
Don't get that close next time. Okay. Listen, Mason here is going to help us out because he's going to hold a couple of water bottles. And I just want you to hold him out like this. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Is that hard for you? Would that be hard for you? Maybe we could just do it like this. Can you just do this? Can you do this for me?
Yeah.
You think so? You think you can do it?
Yeah.
I believe in you too. Go ahead. Just there it is. All right. Just stand there just for a second, okay? Don't worry about it. I'm not going to. Just stand there. Hey, listen. The truth of the matter is that there's been habits in my life. There's been times in my life where, I prayed and I asked the Lord to come into my life, and immediately those things just vanished. Habits disappeared. Struggles went away. Everything was just wonderful in my life because he delivered me from them. But there's also times in my life where I felt like I was still struggling with stuff I shouldn't be. Hey! Mason, come on, dude. Stuff I still struggled in life because I'm going to be honest with you. I felt embarrassed because I was still struggling with these things in my life. It's just battles. I thought, surely this is the last time. Surely I'm not going to go back to that temptation. Surely I'm not going to experience that issue. Surely I'm not going to have a problem with fear, anxiety, lust, depression. Surely I'm not going to deal with this anger issue anymore. Surely I'm not going to be tempted in that addiction. Surely, and I would just pray, and then I would be fine for a day, a week, a month, maybe even years. And then all of a sudden that temptation would pop right back up. And I did, come on, man. Come on, just a little bit like. I got my eye on you, man. See, I've discovered that battles sometimes that are the most difficult for us aren't the battles that are the heaviest. They're the battles that are the most persistent. The battles that we seem to carry the longest over time. Because guess what? The weight hasn't changed, has it? Has the weight changed?
Yes.
It hasn't changed. But his ability to carry that battle, that temptation, has changed. But can I tell you something? That our faith isn't about whether we struggle or we battle. Our faith is about who we trust to carry us in that battle. Because when we trust the one that can bear the weight, we can hold this all day long. Don't you shake your head. Hey, give Mason a round of applause. Thanks, buddy. See, over time I've learned that something that's incredibly freeing. And I want you to understand this. The presence of the battle doesn't mean that there's absence of faith. Sometimes the presence of the battle is the greatest evidence that faith is still active and at work in our lives because we keep showing up and fighting the battle. And I have a feeling that I'm not the only one in here, amen? I think that everybody in here knows what it's like to face that battle over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, most of us don't deal with battles publicly. Most of us deal with them privately. We put on the public smile in the back. We bear the private burden. Nobody around us sees the struggle that we face when we are dealing with the sin or the temptation. Nobody sees that moment that we swore we would never get to again. The thought patterns that we entertain, the habits that we promised to drop before the Lord, the fear that we cling to at night, the depression that overcomes us in the morning, the insecurities that seem to whisper to us that we're just not good enough. The enemy loves to use these things in our lives because ultimately, we feel like if somebody were to know that we struggle with this, if that we're fighting with this battle, they would never talk to us again. What would my church think if they knew I was struggling in this situation? They would never trust me again. And the reality is that the most difficult thing is that not the battle that we face, but the isolation on the back end of the battle that torments us and tortures us, and it isolates us from the family, the friends, and the church that want to help us and would come alongside of us in that moment had they known. Because we believe these lies, we stop fighting the battle and we go into hiding. We stop asking for prayer. We stop being honest. We put on the smile, but we are still hurting in our hearts because of the temptation, that battle that just won't quit. We begin to measure our spirituality not by how we walk with God through the battle, but we measure it by if the battle exists still in our lives. But the question is not whether we're going to experience temptation. Can I be honest with you? Everybody's going to experience temptation. As a matter of fact, temptation is not just a new Christian thing. It's not just a pre-Christian thing. It's not just a weak Christian thing. Temptation is a every person thing. So it's not about if, but it's about when. Because God doesn't leave us guessing about what to do in temptation. I want to share that with you this morning. And we don't have to walk in isolation all alone. We don't have to wonder why our lives are like this. We can be confident and boldly move into the future that he has for us because we know that not only is God present with us in temptation, but he's making a way out of it for us. Amen. If you will, turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians. You can join me in chapter 10, verse 13, because today I want us to remember something really important about temptation. But before we get there, you know, Corinth, this city that that Paul's letter was going to, the church in Corinth, this city was an incredible city. It was so rich and so famous. It was a kind of a touristy place. It was a place where ideas were exchanged. They had theaters and they had temples and there was huge marketplaces. This was an incredible place. And Paul wasn't writing to unbelievers in Corinth. He was writing to believers, people that had put their faith, hope, and trust in God, people that were doing everything they could to walk with him. These are people that didn't just face persecution, but they also faced temptation on a grand scale. Because they had been saved out of idolatry. They had been saved out of paganism. They had been saved out of worship in these temples. But their lives didn't just magically take them over to Jerusalem. They were still wrapped up in their pagan culture and society. Everywhere they looked, they faced the temple that they used to worship at, the marketplace where they used to do business, at the friends that they used to be around. And everywhere they looked, there was this opportunity to be pulled in one way or the other in the old temptations that they used to face. In fact, the truth is if we're pursuing Christ faithfully, you should expect to be taken out of the temptation. But Paul doesn't leave us just with a warning. He shares with us the remedy. And before we unpack today's scripture, I want to remind us something, and I want to continue to keep coming back to it every once in a while. Victory isn't found in never being tempted. Listen to this. Victory is found in learning to walk with God through temptation. Wow. Number one, you're not the only one fighting. Somebody say amen to that. I don't know if you've ever noticed that the enemy's favorite lie isn't always, go ahead and sin. Go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead and sin. If that was the only lie that he fed us, it'd be pretty obvious, right? I don't want to do that again. Okay, you win. But sometimes that lie is, you're the only one dealing with that problem. Because if he can convince you that you're the only one struggling in this area, you'll stop asking for help. You'll stop fighting and you'll start hiding. And eventually, you'll make yourself believe that you're too far gone for God's grace to bring you back. Isolation oftentimes is more dangerous than the temptation that you face. Watch what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says. The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is, somebody say it, faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Praise God for that. You know, the first thing that Paul doesn't tell them is to try harder. Isn't that nice? He doesn't just say, hey, I noticed that you're dealing with some stuff. Have you thought about trying harder? I mean, it had to be a temptation for Paul to point that out to them. Maybe you should just try a little harder, but he didn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, he doesn't tell them what to do at first. He simply reminds them of something that is very true. Your struggle is common. It's basic. See, the word common isn't trying to make that temptation feel insignificant to them. The word common is trying to help them understand that what they are facing isn't any different than what all the other Christians, all the other believers, all the other people aren't dealing with all at the same time. It's supposed to be a word of comfort. It's normal. It's experienced by all of humanity. In other words, whatever battle you're facing today, somebody else has fought it. Somebody else is fighting it. Somebody else is overcoming it all right now. Praise God. It's not unique to you. You're not the only one. Paul is removing one of Satan's greatest weapons, that we're the only ones dealing with this temptation. For the believers in Corinth, these words must have been incredibly comforting. Remember where they lived, that city? They faced that temptation all day long. Everywhere they turned, they were being pulled back into these old modes, these old behaviors, these old habits, these old patterns, all day long pulled in every direction. And Paul reminds them, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common unto mankind. He's reminding them that their struggle isn't unique in Corinth. That even though that the culture is intense, even though the temptation may be strong, it's a normal thing to experience temptation as a Christian. The Greek word translated common carries this idea of that it's belonging to humanity. That Paul is not minimizing their temptation, but he is normalizing their temptation. It's normal what you're going through, he says. And it must have been comforting to hear that no temptation has overtaken you. And I love the fact that he used the word overtaken. He didn't say, no temptation has mastered you. He said, overtaken. That implies that these people are in a fight, in a battle. And the temptation, they can work and they can struggle in that battle. But it hasn't become their master. Nor will it ever because of Christ in them. He says, the temptation didn't overtake you. See, the truth is, it changes the way that we see ourselves. Too many Christians live their life defined by what they are tempted in rather than defined by the Savior that saved them. Oh, you don't believe me, I see. Okay, all right. I struggle with anger, so I must be an angry person. I struggle with lust, so I must be a lustful person. I struggle with addiction, so I must be an addict. I struggle with gossip, I'm a gossiper. Man, family of God, can I tell you that when you came to a Savior and you gave your life over to Him and He washed you in His blood and He presented you before God as a spotless person, that you no longer identify with your sin, but you identify with your Savior, that you're not an addicted Christian, you're a Christian. You're not an alcoholic, you're a Christian. You're not somebody that deals with lust, you're a Christian. That temptation isn't a defining characteristic of who you are, it is simply what is happening to you. And what you are battling, what you are facing, you are not your battle. Amen. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Now, I want you to understand something right now. That you can struggle in a battle. You can be losing in a battle. You can be losing because you're not trusting God in the battle. You can feel like you're losing a battle and not be losing a battle, because I can tell you this, that when you are tempted, there is a temptation even inside of the temptation to make you think that you are sinning when you're not even sinning yet. Isn't that funny? But I want you to understand, Christians, that there is no such thing as a Christian addict. There is no such thing as a depressed Christian. There is no such, any word that you add on top of Christian modifies it and it makes it something different than that it is. You are a Christian. Stand on who you are in Christ and your identity inside of Him. He saved you. He reconciled you to God. Stop holding on to the old things and defining yourself in the old ways and begin to define yourself like He defined you. As a son, as a daughter of the Most High King. Come on, somebody praise Him for that. Because one of the enemy's greatest weapons is that isolation and trying to change your identity. But you can fight back against the enemy whenever you remind yourself, not of what you can do, but in whose you are. Praise God, praise God. Secondly, I want to share with you, temptation is not a sin. Turn to somebody and say, temptation is not a sin. One of Satan's greatest victories isn't getting us to sin. Sometimes it's just simply getting us to believe that when we are tempted, we've already committed sin in our lives. If he can blur that line of temptation inside of us, then he already has an upper hand in our lives. That we unnecessarily fall into guilt and shame. We unnecessarily live in defeat when we haven't even been defeated. Because we believe that we've already committed the sin because we are in the middle of temptation. And it discourages us. And can I tell you something? That discouraged Christians are far easier to beat than Christians that are confident in Christ. It's the enemy's greatest weapon at times. I've talked with believers in my office, and they said, Pastor, I can't even believe that I had that thought. I can't believe that I'm still struggling here in this area. I can't believe I thought I was a more mature Christian than that. Can I tell you something? You can be a mature Christian and be tempted. Can all my mature Christians say amen? Can all my immature Christians say, oh no? Because you hoped that if you just got to some spiritual level of spirituality and faith and hope and trust in God, that you would overcome temptation, that it wouldn't touch you anymore. Friend, the temptation and the weight and the strength of temptation doesn't change. But can I tell you what does change? The Lord strengthens us in the midst of temptation. He can help us to overcome that. He can help us to walk through that temptation. I want to encourage you with something this morning that has helped countless Christians. Being tempted is not the same as giving in to temptation. If they were the same thing, that we'd have a major problem, a major theological problem in Scripture, because the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all ways, .. yet didn't sin. Praise God. Praise God. The temptation wasn't the sin. It was the response to the temptation that determined whether sin occurred in our life. That's an incredible, important distinction, because it tells us that as Christians, we can walk through the middle of temptation and yet walk through without sin. Otherwise, you're going to be spending half your life confessing the things that you never had to confess to. And Paul never says temptation isn't a problem. In fact, the very wording in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 suggests something very important. It assumes that temptation will always be a part of a Christian life, when he says the temptation in your life are no different from what others have experienced. No different. Whether your grandparents, your parents, your friends, your coworkers, those people at the other church, they all have experienced those same temptations. The expectation isn't that the believer will avoid the temptation. The expectation is that the believer will encounter the temptation. Why? Because temptation is not the sin. And Jesus is the clearest evidence for that, because in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, this high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet did not sin. Think about that. It wasn't pretend temptation. It wasn't watered down temptation. It was every bit of the temptation that we ever face, he faced. When we read in Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, was met in the wilderness by the devil. And Satan himself tempted him. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus didn't sin. He defeated him with the word of God. He tempted him spiritually by twisting Scripture. He tempted him with power. All these kingdoms will be yours. And every temptation was real. And every temptation was overcome, because he remained without sin. That tells us something incredibly important, that temptation is an invitation to sin, not sin itself. It's like somebody knocking at the door. Come on, let me in, let me in. Now, if you're my kids, my little kids, every knock at the door is like, I want to open it. No, I want to open it. Come on, let me in. No, let me out. But for me, every knock at my door is like, no, I'm not getting that. Because you can decide what door you want to open. I want to say it again. You can decide what door to open in your life. Some of you need to hear that and get that down into your heart and your life. That you decide whether you want to open a door of temptation. Don't open doors of temptation in your life because it's an invitation to sin. Pastor, I don't know why I keep struggling in this. Is it because of where you're going in your free time? Is it because of the music that you listen to or the programming that you expose yourself to? Is it because of the friendships or the relationships you still maintain? Is it because you keep on going and buying the thing or doing the thing? Can I tell you something? That if you continue to open the door of temptation, that you are going to fall into sin? Sometimes it's about just trying to avoid the sin, or the temptation rather. Just avoid that, and you won't fall into temptation in those ways. But can I tell you something? That you can't avoid all temptation. It's just going to come, and it's going to come, and it's going to come. That's why James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15 tells us, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Did you notice the progression there? Temptation, desires, conception, sin, death. Everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because of the temptation, not because the devil made me do it. It's your fault. See, in order for us to understand the gospel, the good news, we have to understand the bad news. And the bad news is the devil didn't always make you do it. Your spouse isn't the one that's making you do it. Your kids aren't the one that's making you do it. Your boss isn't the one that's making you do it. The program isn't the one that's making you do it. It's you and your evil desires. And before you can come to Jesus, you have to come to him on his terms, not on your terms. And you have to come to him and say, Lord, I have sinned. I chose to do something wrong. It's my fault, Lord. Because the gospel isn't trying to make bad people better. The gospel is trying to take dead people, make them alive. And I need you to understand that the temptation is not the sin, it's the sin. But everybody has a sin problem. That's why we all need a Savior. I wonder how many Christians are carrying guilt that God never intended for us to carry. They've confused temptation with the failure. A sinful thought flashes across their mind, and before they can even reject it, they feel sorrow come over them and begin to apologize to God because of a sinful thought, when that was the temptation. In fact, I need us to understand, listen, be careful. The presence of temptation is not proof of losing the battle. Sometimes it's proof that you're still fighting the battle. Dead people in sin don't fight against temptation. It's only alive people fight temptation. It's only people that have the Holy Spirit at work in them that are fighting this temptation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say that there's no temptation. He says there's no condemnation. Those, praise God, are very two different things. They are different. Condemnation is not the same as temptation. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That means that there's going to be a temptation in your life. There's going to be presence of the devil fighting against you. There's going to be presence of your own evil desires pulling you away. But can I tell you, there is no condemnation because you are in Christ. And as you put your faith, hope, and trust in him, he will come and strengthen you in the middle of your battle. That you can fight your temptation all that you want to. But I believe that some people are fighting temptations without a Savior. They're trying to fight temptation on your own. like trying to fight sin on your own. You can't do it. But I want you to know that God always provides a way through. Turn to somebody and say, God always provides a way through. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there's been times in my life where I felt like I had no choice in the matter. I felt like sin was just the only choice I had to take. When somebody cut me off in traffic, I was like, Lord, I'm sorry for what I'm about to do, but something needs to be done right now, and I'm the guy. And it's hard because sometimes we find ourselves in positions where we feel like there is no choice. It's by default because we're humans. But it's just not true. It's a lie. That's exactly where Paul goes next in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, whenever he says, and God is faithful. Somebody say faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, not if, but when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. There's this phrase that a lot of people say. It's embedded into our culture. God won't give you more than what you can handle. Anybody ever say that? Come down to the altar. It's wrong. And it breaks my heart that it's wrong because I wish that it was right. But there's grief in my life that I can't handle. There's pain in my life that I can't handle. There's issues in my life that I can't handle. There's anxieties, there's fears, there's depressions, there's addictions, there's all these things that people just can't handle on their own. But the Bible doesn't say, praise God, that he's not gonna give us more than we can handle. We get more than we can handle all the time. If you don't believe me, watch me put my kids to bed. Dear Jesus, I'm doing it again, help me. What does the Bible say though? He says, when you are tempted, he will show you a way out. Somebody say way out, so that you can endure. This way out is so important because many of us spend so much time trying to pray for God to remove us from temptation. And that's not God's plan at all. Instead of asking God to remove us from temptation, many of us should be asking, God, where have you made the way where there seems to be no way? We can fight, we can struggle. We kind of just throw our hands up, say, I thought I gave this to the Lord, but I guess this is just the thing. It keeps me trusting in him. Many of us are so caught up in the temptation and the eventual sin that we forget that when we call out to Jesus, he doesn't just at that time put his attention on us and say, whoa, 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 kid, watch out. Let me figure something out real quick. But the Bible says that he's present with us. He never left us or forsaken us. And he was there at the moment that sin, that temptation, that struggle, that battle, that we engaged in it. He was present there. And can I tell you as Christians, and something that somebody needs to hear this morning, is that the evidence of temptation in your life is simultaneously the evidence that God has already at work in you, providing a miracle and a way out, that he is already there. He's already present, and he loves you so much that he's already provided a way out so that you can be more than conquerors. Not just escape by the skin of your teeth, not just because you tried harder, not just because you're somehow spiritually more mature. Notice that it's not, the Bible doesn't say that you are faithful, so he won't allow you to be tempted with more than what you can handle. It says, he is faithful. Woo, think about that. Your sin, your temptation has nothing to do with your faithfulness, but everything to do with God's faithfulness. You can be tempted, you can fall, but the way out is not because of you. It's because of Him, because He is faithful. That's why the door is always open for you. You can always come back. You can always escape. You can always find your way out. Why? Because He's faithful to give it to you. That word, way out, is so important here. That Greek word, ekbeis. I won't ask you to try to say it. I can't say it. I'm not going to judge you. It literally refers to an exit, an outcome, or a passage through. We need to be praying and asking God not to remove the temptation from us, but to hold us steady through it, to show us the way out, the exit. Lord, help, I found my way into this place. Give me the exit door. Help me, Lord, right now, be faithful to You, because I can't do it in and of myself. This is more than I can handle, but it's not more than what You can handle. You weren't surprised by me stumbling. That's why You all already made a way. That's why Paul talks about endurance so much. Because we wouldn't have to endure if we were never going to face temptation or persecution or struggles or trials. But He talks about endurance because we will have to endure. We will have to get up. We'll have to go again. And we'll have to trust God to carry us through it. The Corinthians needed to hear that, and I think there's somebody in here that needs to hear that. Because if that's true, it changes the way that we handle all temptation. See, every time you choose God's way over the enemy's way, you're discovering something we've been saying all along this morning. Victory isn't found in being tempted, in never being tempted. Victory is found in learning to walk with God through temptation. So I want to ask you a personal question this morning. Where are the battles that won't quit in your life? Many of you have already asked that and answered that over and over again this morning. The presence of the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart of moments in your life where you continually fall into temptation and even stumble into sin. You've been dragged away by your own sinful desires. You find yourself doing it over and over again. Friend, can I tell you something? It's a very dangerous, slippery slope if you choose not to fight that battle. And many of you say, well, Pastor, I've fought that battle so many times. I just don't know what to do. I'm just trusting God's grace. I'm glad that you're trusting His grace. But friend, I want to remind you that you're not getting into heaven by the skin of your teeth, but by the blood of the Lamb. It's His faithfulness that makes you more than a conqueror, not your ability. So I want to challenge you this morning, friend, that is still struggling, that is still dealing with temptation and even falling into sin, trust Him. Trust Him in this moment. But perhaps you're here this morning and the biggest struggle that you face is not whether you give in to temptation, it's the fact that you've never chosen to trust Jesus with your life. That you know that the Holy Spirit is here and that you know that this is real because that you're feeling something right now that you've never felt before, and it's this drawing, this conviction of sin. You feel sad because you can't do anything about the sin in your life. No matter how hard you've tried, you can't do it. None of us can. But it's by grace through faith that you have the opportunity and you're afforded the privilege to come to him and admit that you're a sinner just like all of us and that you need Jesus. And he is faithful to forgive. He's faithful to restore. He's faithful to redeem. He's faithful to call somebody that's dead to come alive. That's the greatest miracle that you and I ever see. Is it the parting of the Red Sea? Is it the plagues? Is it healings? Is it deliverances? Is it all this stuff? No. The greatest miracle that Jesus would ever perform is raising a dead person to life. And you and I are walking dead without him. Would you stand with me all over this place? I just want to take a moment to pray over you. Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you for your Holy Spirit being at work in us and through us this morning. And today, as you've challenged us with your word, Lord, to understand that there's some battles in our life that won't quit. And we fall into that temptation. But Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that right now, as your Holy Spirit moves in us, Lord, that you draw us to you, Lord, that we trust you in the moments of the temptation. And perhaps, Lord, there is people here that need to trust you with their hearts and their lives. If you're here this morning with your head bowed and your eyes still closed to create a private moment between each person and God, you're here and you know in your heart of hearts that you need to make it right with the Lord. You know you're not a Christian, or at least you know that you're not living like one. And you want to make a stand, draw a line in the sand and say, from this point forward, I want to trust Jesus with my life. If that's you, would you simply raise your hand? I don't want to embarrass you. I just want you to raise your hand so I know I'm praying with you. Yes, thank you. Praying and making a decision for Christ this morning. I'm looking all around. No need to be embarrassed. Thank you, I see you. Looking all around. Thank you, I see you. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these three hands that have been raised, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for their decision, Lord, to trust you with their life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word makes it clear that when we come to you and we admit that we are a sinner, that we need you, Lord. Lord, that you're faithful, Lord, to come into our hearts and our lives, Lord, by your power and your love, to resurrect us, Lord Jesus, to cause us to come alive in you. That you wash us clean from the inside and out and present us as your spotless bride. Father, I thank you, and we celebrate with these hands that have been raised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you give God glory right now for these three? Wow. As our prayer partners make themselves available today, perhaps you're here and you've been walking in trust and faith in the Lord. But you're still dealing with temptation, with struggles, with sin in your life. There's times in our life where we need to respond. And many times we try to respond with our words, but we realize that our words don't have the same power and intent that we want them to have. And sometimes there's times in our lives where our feet need to do the talking. If you want to respond to today's message, you want to come and have prayer, you want to have somebody pray over you that will pray a prayer of faith and help you and encourage you to find your way back to Christ or overcome temptation or struggles or find prayer to somebody agree with you about getting healed in Jesus' name, anything that you need prayer over, I want to invite you to come down and pray with one of these prayer partners. Pray that prayer of faith and see a miracle happen in your life. We're going to worship for just a moment, but I want you to pray. And if you're one of the people that raised their hand to get saved, I want to invite you to come as well and talk to that prayer partner. Let us get that information from you so that we can celebrate with you and we can help you figure out what the next steps are in Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just worship just for a moment. Let's hold steady and worship. Church, what would happen if we all came together and instead of acting like nobody else had a battle or a struggle, what if we all realized that there is no struggle that is greater than the love of God in our lives? That we, even though we face temptation and battles on our left and our right, He is faithful to hold us in the moments. It's His work in our lives. We keep getting up despite the temptation, despite falling. We keep getting up, not because of us, but because of Him. I want to invite you right now to be that kind of church, to be that kind of people with me. They're going to love people. Not just whenever everything is squeaky clean, but whenever things are complicated and hard and there's temptation all around. But we're going to walk with people through those moments in their life. Amen? Amen. Let's be that kind of church. Let me pray over us this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for this word, Lord, from your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you put it down deep in our hearts and our lives. That way, as we walk out of this place, Lord, and we experience temptation, Lord, we can remember that we are more than overcomers, not because of us, but because of you. We give you the praise and glory in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Let's love somebody today as you're dismissed.